If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 136. Let's just pray again to ask the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, to be our teacher today. Father, again, thank you so much for all that you are. We love you. We thank you for this time to be able to come to thank you for everything that you have done for us. Lord, I pray as we look into your word now that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. We acknowledge we need you. We're absolutely dependent upon you for everything, especially when it comes to the word of God. Lord, your word is by your Spirit. He is the ultimate author. You're our teacher. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes, help us to see truths from this passage, especially as it pertains to giving thanks to you. So, Lord, we just commit this time now to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we focus on Thanksgiving, I just want to take a little bit of time to look at this psalm, Psalm 136, which is considered the greatest of the Psalms of Thanksgiving. Its author is unknown, and in many ways it's very similar to Psalm 135. However, what makes Psalm 136 unique from all the other Psalms is the refrain or the phrase, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." And that is repeated at the end of every single verse. That's what sets this psalm apart. The psalm was designed for responsive singing in one or more of Israel's religious festivals. In other words, the first part of the verse was sung by the Levitical choir. And then the phrase, "For his loving kindness is everlasting," was either spoken or it was sung in response by the rest of the congregation. So you can just kind of see for 26 verses, it went back and forth where it was sung, the particular first part of the verse, and then as a response to that, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." Then the song went on to say the next part of the next verse, and then, "For his love is everlasting," over and over and over again for 26 verses. I believe the psalmist was driving home the point that this is a primary attribute of God, and that primarily behind all that he does that we're going to see in this psalm is his everlasting love. And that is a major focus today for giving thanks to God for his everlasting love. In Psalm 136, we see three aspects of thanksgiving to the Lord that I want us to look at this morning that I believe has personal application to each one of us. We're not Israel. We're the church. This is Israel singing to the Lord, but the principles apply because just as they were the people of God, we are the people of God. The first aspect of thanksgiving is what I call the requirement of thanksgiving. The requirement of thanksgiving. This morning, I'm just going to, for the sake of time, read only the first part of each verse throughout the psalm. But understand, as you have in your Bible, as you look right after the first part of each verse, is "For his loving kindness is everlasting." Look at verse 1. "Give thanks to the Lord." To give thanks means to express heartfelt appreciation and gratitude to someone. Four times in verses 1 through 3, as well as clear at the very end of this psalm, verse 26, We are commanded as God's people to give thanks to Him. You see, this isn't an option. It's not a suggestion. It's an obligation. It's a command. It's a requirement to give thanks to Him, to have an attitude of gratitude towards the one true living God, because we're His people. Notice in verse 1 that we're commanded to give thanks to the Lord. The Lord. God has many names in Scripture. We see just a couple of them here in this psalm. In verses 1 through 3, we see three names of God. The word Lord is Yahweh. Yahweh or Jehovah. It's the most holy name for God in all of the Old Testament. It reveals God as self-existent. It stresses His absolute faithfulness. Verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods. The word God is Elohim here. This speaks of God's almighty power, His supremacy as the one true living God, and as the judge of the universe. You see, He is God, the God of gods, in that all man-made gods are nothing but idols. You see, there are no gods at all other than Him. He is the God of all man-made gods. He is the one who is over and above everything that sinful man looks to other than the true God. Verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of lords. The word Lord here is Adonai. This refers to God as the sovereign, the all-powerful ruler, and the master of all of His creation. As Lord of lords, He has sovereign control and authority over all human kings and rulers. The word lords with a small L has to do with human authority, human kings, human rulers. You see, Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hands of the Lord. He has the kings in His hand. He moves it however He wishes. He is the sovereign ruler. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, as we read in Revelation. Therefore, the psalmist begins by commanding us to give thanks to our great and awesome God, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The second aspect of thanksgiving is the reasons for thanksgiving. The reasons for thanksgiving. I believe there's five of them here that we can pull from this passage. Five reasons of thanksgiving to God. The first reason is God's goodness. It's God's goodness. Look back at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord. Here it is, for. Because of this, here's the reason. For He is good. For He is good. The goodness of God is a very consistent theme throughout the Psalms. God alone is good. Jesus said there's only one who is good, and that's God. Only God is good. Therefore, all that He does and all that He gives to us is good. It's good whether we understand it or not. It's good in the sense that God has good purposes behind it. That's why we often quote Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And God's purpose is to make us like Christ. And so whatever it is He allows to happen in our life, He has good purposes behind that for our best interest. When God says He does this for our good, it's His definition of goodness, not our definition, that we need to remember. You see, this is why we can say God is good all the time. No matter what happens, He is good all the time. He knows things we don't. And so we have to trust Him. James 1:17 declares, every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. He never changes. And the fact that He is good and what He does and gives is good. The second reason for Thanksgiving is God's loving kindness. As we've already seen, you see, it's God's loving kindness that is most commended in this psalm. This phrase, for His loving kindness is everlasting, is repeated 26 times at the end of each verse in these 26 verses. Over and over and over, 26 times, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Again, He's driving the point home. We are to be thankful for His loving kindness. The word loving kindness is chesed in Hebrew. It refers to God's loyal love, His steadfast, unfailing love for His people. In 1 John chapter 4, we see that God is love. God is love. And this love specifically shows His heart for and His faithfulness to His people through covenant relationship with us. Our relationship with the Lord is a covenant relationship. He has covenanted Himself to us. And He loves us with a loyal, unfailing love. This is God's amazing love that never gives up on us. It never gives up. Because God loves us so much, Hebrews 12 says that when we're off, we're doing our own thing, we may be rebelling against Him. As His children, what does He do? He pursues us and disciplines us to draw us back to Himself. Because He loves us. And it is everlasting in that we can not only experience it and be thankful for it now, but also throughout all eternity. The third reason for Thanksgiving is God's creation. God's creation. Look at the first part here of verse 4. To Him who alone does great wonders. This is an introductory statement for, again, his creation. He does great wonders. The great wonders are remarkable, miraculous acts that God alone does without any help from anybody else. These are things that He does by His supernatural power. And He does this to reveal not only His power, but also His everlasting love. And the great wonder of God's creation is seen in verses 5 through 9. Look at verse 5. To him who made the heavens with skill. God is the Almighty Creator God of all things. God's work of creation, what's called ex nihilo, or out of nothing, in Genesis chapter 1 shows us His unfathomable skill. The word skill here refers to His wisdom, His understanding. God made the heavens and everything else to declare His glory, to show forth His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature, as we see in Romans chapter 1. All of creation shouts that out, and it shows the skill, the wisdom of God. Verse 6, to Him who spread out the earth above the waters. In creation, God raised the earth out of the waters when He caused the dry land to appear so that it might be fit for the habitation of us. Verses 7 through 9, to Him who made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and the stars to rule by night. The two great lights, the sun and the moon, they rule in that day and night. heat and cold, the four seasons, the ocean tides, and many other things are continually regulated by these two great lights. The fourth reason for thanksgiving is God's deliverance. Verse 10, to him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn and brought Israel out from their midst with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Here the psalmist describes how God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. You know, of the 10 plagues, and all of them were miraculous, but of the 10 plagues, the last plague, the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt, was the most gripping to the heart of every Egyptian. It made Pharaoh willing to finally release God's people. See, God brought his people out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, which is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for the all-powerful strength of the one true living God. But Pharaoh changed his mind. He pursued Israel with his army. The first part of verses 13 through 15, look what that says. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and made Israel pass through the midst of it. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. In time of danger, God miraculously parted the Red Sea to deliver his people. He made the water stand like tall walls on both sides. Imagine that. He split it apart and the water stood straight up on both sides, and it was dry ground on the seabed for Israel to walk through. And God gave the people the courage to go through the divided sea. Notice what it said. He made Israel pass through the midst of it. He gave them courage to do that. How would you like to walk through a great big long, you know, path with water? I don't know how tall that was. It must have been pretty tall on both sides. It took courage, and God gave that to them for them to pass. And God also judged Pharaoh and his army by collapsing the sea upon them when they tried to cross. And in doing so, completely delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians. The fifth reason for thanksgiving is God's care and inheritance. God's care and inheritance. Look at verse 16. To him who led his people through the wilderness. You see, God not only brought Israel out of Egypt, but he also led them through the wilderness. He took care of them. He went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. Throughout their 40-year wilderness wanderings, which it didn't have to be that way, but because of their rebellion and sin, that's what happened. But he was still there because of his hesed love, his everlasting love that never gives up, that never fails, that's always loyal. He was there to lovingly provide for all their needs, to give them water to drink, food to eat, to keep their sandals from wearing out. I'd like that. He also protected them from their enemies. Look at the first part of verses 17 through 20. To him who smote great kings and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. You see, although Israel faced many great and mighty kings, and Sihon and Og are just representatives of that, All of these kings were no match. They were no match for the all-powerful God who lovingly cared for his people. You see, he didn't take Israel out of Egypt to just leave them in the wilderness. He took them out to take them into the promised land. And that's what we see in the first part of verses 21 and 22. And gave their land as a heritage, even a heritage to Israel, his servant. Again, the land of Canaan, which God had promised originally to Abraham, was now the inheritance of Israel as he helped them after those 40 years through the leadership of Joshua to now enter the land and to conquer the land. So here in the psalm, we see again a picture of some of the history of Israel, some of the high points. It leaves off all the bad points for the most part. But it's thanking him for his faithful love. The third aspect of thanksgiving is the repetition of thanksgiving. I call it the repetition of thanksgiving because the psalmist here closes by repeating certain reasons. He kind of pulls out certain reasons of thanksgiving as well as the requirement, again, to give thanks to God. Look at the first part of verse 23 and 24. Who remembered us in our low estate and has rescued us from our adversaries. You see, in whatever low estate Israel found herself in, that might have been while she was slaves in Egypt or in Babylonian exile or whatever state they were in that was low. Because of God's loyal, steadfast, and unfailing love, again, he was there and he remembered them. What a neat thought. The fact that God remembers his people. God tells us in his word that he knows every head on or every hair on our head. He knows every detail about our lives. And he not only remembers us, but he rescued them out of their trouble. He rescued them out of their trouble from all of their adversaries, whatever that might be. Again, he was there. Verse 25, who gives food to all flesh. So here the psalmist returns to a reflection of God's goodness as the creator. Again, as the creator, God is the creator of everything that exists. Every living thing looks ultimately to God as the provider, as the source of provision. And the love of God for all of his creation is evident in that he is the ultimate provider for all of their needs, man as well as animal, birds, all living things. He gives food to all flesh. Verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven. So he starts off right at first. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. And now he follows that up. Once again, commanding us to give thanks. But notice this time, it's to the God of heaven. The God of heaven. This is the only occurrence of this title in the book of Psalms. This morning we were going through Daniel. In chapter 2, we saw it there, the God of heaven, twice. It's in different places, in Ezra, in different places, but it's only here in Psalms. The God of heaven means that the Almighty God is the great King who rules the universe with ultimate authority. And he does that from his heavenly throne, and he sovereignly dispenses his authority to all human monarchs. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, we're told that it's God alone who removes kings. It's God who establishes kings. Again, as we saw in Proverbs, the king's heart is in the hand of God. He moves it wherever he wants. He is the sovereign king of heaven. To him alone we're to give thanks for all that he is, for all that he has done, and for all that he continues and will continue to do throughout eternity for his loving kindness is everlasting. As Christians, we're not Israel. But just as God commanded them to give thanks to him, he also commands us to give thanks in the very same way. We too are to give thanks for God's goodness to us and so many good things that he brings into our lives. We're to thank him for that. We heard just a few of them from those reading the scripture this morning. There's multiple things that we can thank God for his goodness. We're to thank him for his loving kindness and faithfully loving us, never giving up on us, even when we are unfaithful. He is still faithful still. Still faithful. And that is because of his chesed love that never gives up. It's loyal love. It's unfailing, steadfast love. For God's creation that is so awe-inspiring, that manifests his glory and influences our lives in so many positive ways. These are things that we are to be thankful for. For God's deliverance of us from sin and eternal death through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid in full the penalty for our sin. He died on the cross. I love to say, he died. He took my hell that I might have his heaven. As our substitute, he died for us. We're forgiven for all of our sins. The power of sin is broken by his death on the cross, whereby he continually rescues us from all of our spiritual enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, as we depend on him. And for God's care in remembering us in so many ways, by providing for our needs, by protecting us, many times in ways we're not even aware of. He's protecting us, giving us the promise that one day we will be with him in heaven forever to receive his inheritance of eternal life. We have so many good things to be thankful for. But before I close this morning, I want to just say we need to remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 that says, in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything. That's the good and the bad. Even in the bad things, even things that we don't see as good in our lives. Such things as when we're tight financially, when our dreams are shattered, when our job is hard or we end up losing it, and we can't get another one, our child is not saved or is away from the Lord. We hear bad news from the doctor, or we're struggling with pain, sickness, disease, whatever it might be, we are still to give thanks to the Lord because we're told to give thanks in everything. How in the world do we do that? I believe there's only one way, and that is by choosing to trust what is true about God from his word. The only way we're going to give thanks to God in everything, when the bottom falls out of our lives especially, is when we choose to trust what is true about Him from His Word. God has revealed Himself, His character, to us through His Word. And we need to cling to that, choose to believe it. We must truly believe that the Lord Jesus is sovereignly in control. He knows exactly what we're going through. And because He is good, His heart for us is good with an everlasting love, with chesed love. That's how He loves us. You see, this is what makes all the difference in our life. Trust flows out of thanksgiving. Trust flows out of, or flows out into, thanksgiving. If we're not thankful, if we don't have a grateful heart, it comes back down to whether we're trusting God or not. For giving thanks to God is an expression of our faith in Him. Therefore, this Thanksgiving, may we all wholeheartedly give thanks to the Lord, because that is what He is calling us to do. Let's pray. Father, again, thank You so much for Your Word today.